Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hey.
Hey, Goo. Goo's in Texas. Family reunion.
You think he's listening?
I could see Guru with the Odyssey app downloaded with his family around him and him saying, well, let's keep listening. They might be talking about me.
Dude, it's like 90 degrees in Texas right now, probably humid.
What's going on, Goo? How you doing?
Yeah, I hope he's doing all right.
Yeah, we know you're listening. I got a question to ask you about a player that I'm not too fond of.
It's not Schneeman. Please tell me it's not Schneeman.
What's going on with this guy? He's driving me nuts.
Schmidt?
I don't like my second baseman running out to left field to catch a pop-up. That's what Tyler Fitzgerald did two nights ago. Anyway, you know the play I'm talking about. Anyway, so last year this guy hits 15 home runs in 300 and some at-bats.
Hit 10 of them in like 1 month.
Yes. He's got two homers this year. Tyler Fitzgerald, please explain.
Yeah, he's not very good. Well, look, he's really fast. That's what everyone keeps telling me. He had one great month of baseball last year, but he swings and misses a lot. He doesn't walk a ton. And defensively, for as great of an athlete as he is supposed to be, he's not all that great. I think he kind of represents to me what the Giants have been associated with the last couple of years, which is a player that is a mile wide and an inch deep. He does a ton of different things. But he doesn't really do any of them very well. Like, he's not horrible, but he's not very good. And that's why, second base is a position that I think isn't often noticed, just because the players usually don't make a ton of mistakes. They're not involved in a bunch of, big situations. But it is an important position, and the Giants have really gotten nothing from second base. To me, the fact that we haven't discussed Tyler Fitzgerald to this point has been because what they've had at first base has been so bad that he's almost just been let off the hook.
Yeah, two homers this year. And that's, that's when I look at this lineup, and I see Fitzgerald, Bailey, Schmidt. And here's the problem. I'm still throwing Adamas in there. I mean, he's still not hitting. So there are too many holes in that lineup. But Fitzgerald's a guy that Fitzgerald and Schmidt, are they good enough?
No, they're not. And
in fairness, Schmidt should be a super utility guy when everybody's healthy.
No, but Fitz is 8-for-53 in his last 17 games. Like, he's hitting .150 for the last, three quarters of a month. That's not going to help you win very many games. And it's funny, like I'm looking at some of the game notes from the Giants for today. The amount of players, so they have a little tab for hit streak, right?
All right.
Like, Yasmin been tearing the cover off the ball. He's got an 8-game hit streak.
All right.
Good for him. There are more guys in the Giants game notes, their lineup right now, that have a negative next to hit streak than guys with a hit streak. For example, Wilmer Flores has a -4 in his hit streak column. That means it's been 4 straight games without a hit.
Yeah, pitched it 2 nights ago.
Sure, he's 0 for his last 10.
Line drive.
0 for his last 10.
Sure.
You need guys that actually can hit to hit, because you have Fitzgerald, you have Bailey, you right now have Schmidt by virtue of Chapman's injury. All of those guys, that's 3 outs. That's a third of your lineup, Steiny.
Yeah. It's almost like they needed more than one bat.
Yeah. Well, but didn't we know that, though?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did. But, again,
It shouldn't take away from how big of an acquisition Devers was. But, again, he can't hit for all of these other players. Adamas, I still have to kind of wait and see, because he's the one guy that I actually do think should benefit the most from Devers. I think their relationship is really important. I think that where Adamas has been hitting in the lineup right in front of Devers should get him better pitches to hit. So I still need a little more time to see what the kind of the impact on Willie is from Rafi.
Gotcha. All right. Speaking of Rafael Devers, I want to talk a little bit more about him. On the morning roast today, Shasky and Spadoni had Will Fleming on. He's the Boston Red Sox play-by-play man, and he's Dave Fleming's brother, but he knows the organization inside and out. And those guys were asking him about Devers, his personality, what he's like. This is Will Fleming talking about this guy's stature in a clubhouse and what he means to an organization.
That stuff is real. The stuff that's coming out about, you know, his intransigence and his unwillingness to do some of those things. The only thing I can liken it to is like a broken marriage in a way, where you just hope that it just was poisoned and it was never going to get better in that way. Just the communication and the feelings were hurt on both sides. So I just think if he comes here, and he's here now, I think that it has a chance to be a great new start for him. And I don't think he's ever going to be like the face of the franchise, of any franchise. He's never going to do a ton of media. He's never going to talk a lot, and that's fine. And by the way, the Red Sox acknowledged that too when they gave him $300+ million. They never asked him to do a lot of that stuff. They said, we just want you to hit. And hit he does.
That was Will Fleming. A couple things I want to get into there that he said. The whole thing about being a face of a franchise. Does that matter to fans? If he's not. And it sounds to me like he's clearly not. It feels to me he's more like a cross between Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler. I'm going to take everybody's word for it that he doesn't want to be Steph Curry.
Well, Jimmy's been the face of a franchise.
Yeah, I just mean like the reluctance, and Jimmy's not a big media guy. Jimmy Butler.
No, but this is, I think the jury's still out. And the reason's this. Devers has never had to be the face of a franchise. When he came into the league, Mookie Betts was the face of the Red Sox.
All right.
When Mookie left, to some extent, Xander Bogaerts was still the face of the Red Sox. When they were competing, when they were really good. Like, he's always had a couple of big brothers, so to speak, that have had that mantle. He's never needed to assume it. Now, I don't think that, you know, from Fleming and from other people as well, like, you know, maybe the media availability, the community efforts, being out in San Francisco, that's probably not something that I expect from Devers. But I do wonder if this is an opportunity for him, still age 28, 29 in his career, almost 10 years in, to take the next step forward as becoming a leader. Like, he has never, He was never used to being that guy.
Right.
But that's the clubhouse he grew up in Boston. He's in a different clubhouse now. And Adames is a leader in that clubhouse. It's his first season. Chapman's obviously a leader among the position players. Webb is probably the face or has been the face for them. I do think there's an opportunity for Devers to be maybe not a public face, but certainly a private one. And that would be the next, I guess, I don't know, maybe a step in his career.
Yeah, I it sounds to me like he kind of just wants to play and not get into a lot of the pomp and circumstance. So Adames is absolutely a leader, and Chapman does it in his way. So you're right. I don't think Devers talks enough to be the face of a franchise. And he just doesn't talk a lot. And there's a language issue. But I do think he seems to be the kind of guy, I'm with you with Adames and just being in that clubhouse. But it sounds to me like if there's leaders in a clubhouse, he'll be fine. Then, because he just wants to come in and play all the time. You know, just play, keep his mouth shut, and go home. And so he doesn't have to be a leader here if those other guys are going to do it. Or, quite frankly, if Posey can put together a clubhouse, and maybe he is already, that resembles those giant championship years where there were quiet leaders and then everybody else just fell into place.
No, but, well, being a, you have an issue with him also not being a leader. I think it's a bit different in baseball than it is in other sports. Like, Bonds wasn't a leader. He led by example.
No, I don't think it's a deal breaker at all. But I do think leadership's important. Like, certain guy, yeah, if Devers were a leader, that would be great. But you know what? I look at Posey in his playing career. You know, was he a leader? To me, you could answer it two different ways, yes or no.
I think Posey was.
He was, but he was the last thing from a vocal leader. He clearly led by example, and he set a tone in the clubhouse that he had enough respect that everybody followed it. And he also had great teammates that were aligned with him, whether it was, you know, Crawford or Belt or Pence or whoever. So if Chapman and Adames and Webb are going to occupy that role in this clubhouse, then Devers is fine just to be a part of it. He doesn't have to be a leader. I mean, yeah, it's great if your best player is a leader, but if they've got other, and I think you're right, baseball doesn't have to necessarily be your leading scorer, as it were in basketball, your best player, because there are more players to kind of pick you up. Like, there's less of a burden.
I mean, in my mind, the way that Rafael Devers becomes a leader or assumes leadership, it's really only one path for him. Hit. That's the only way, because that's all he knows.
Right.
Rafi Devers speaks one language, baseball. And I hate to break it to people, but he ain't playing the field anytime soon. So the only way that he's going to speak the language that he knows and has displayed at a very high level for a long time is he got a hit. And the moment he starts hitting, I do think people will start to look at him as maybe not the traditional kind, but a leadership type role.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. I don't really care if he's not a leader on this particular team right now, right here. One of the reasons is he's still only 28 and he's in a brand new environment. I liken it a little bit to when Wiggins came to the Warriors. So when Wiggins came to the Warriors, his reputation wasn't as elite as Devers as a player. But over the course of 3 or 4 years, Wiggins became entrenched. We got to know him more. He was part of a championship team. And by the end of it, I think that the fans respected him and really liked him, even though he wasn't the most vocal guy. It's just going to take Devers a little bit of time and for him to start putting his stamp on this team. But I kind of feel like he'll fall, you know, he'll kind of fall into the Wiggins category of he just wants to play, doesn't want to, he kind of wants to be left alone. And as long as he's doing what he did in Boston here, he'll be fine.
Yeah, but what he did in Boston got him in trouble.
I don't think he's, well, you're talking about not playing certain positions. And
no, I also think that when the Red Sox, from what I can tell, just from reading, talking to June Lee yesterday, I think I gleaned this. And maybe it was unfair for the Red Sox to just assume that he was going to do this. But I do think when they paid him $300+ million, they expected him to be more of a leader. They expected him to be more of a veteran presence for those young guys. I think they expected him to take on more of, again, it's like kind of the big Poppy role, you know, and that's unfair. I think Poppy's one of the greatest hitters of all time, but Devers is certainly on that track and he's been beloved up until this season, but Rafi Devers clearly did not want that limelight that all of the other greats that have come through Boston, at least in, you know, in the public eye, were concerned with.
Well, and you know, this to me with him in Boston must have been a chicken and the egg type of thing, because had they handled it right, maybe he wouldn't have grown disillusioned. Or if he had handled it differently, the Red Sox would have felt differently about Devers. But he doesn't need to be the face of this franchise. At least not right now. And I don't think you can be it overnight when nobody knows who you are. And everybody's just getting to know this guy. But that's the other thing that I look at as a positive is Chapman, Adames, Webb, Devers, Ramos, Jung-Hoo Lee in an ideal world. Like they're all going to they're going to be the core for the next 3 to 5 years. And I look at it more like a leadership group, if you will, rather than one guy is the leader of this team.
Yeah, the one thing about Wiggins, though, it's like he never had to be that player. I think they wanted him to be before in Minnesota, but when he got to Golden State, he was never going to be that guy. So he was allowed to be himself. You know, how the Giants, I do think the other effect that Posey has is I'm not sure anybody is going to be able to assume the face of the franchise position while Posey is running things.
Huh.
Because that's your face. Like Posey was it as a player. He's now that as an executive. And it kind of takes some pressure off of your stars because everyone's just going to look to Buster. And I know he's not playing anymore, but in a way I kind of think it's like, yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Like we already got that guy.
I think he can set a tone from the front office. There's got to be. First of all, if Eldridge comes up and is the real deal, he'll become the face of the franchise. Like you don't think anybody can. Like you think Buster Posey is going to outshine some of the players on a successful team?
Well, not if he's a megastar, but you're assuming that Eldridge is going to come up and hit 40 homers a year.
Right, I am. But what about if Devers, his next 8 years are like his previous 8 years? Will he be the face of the San Francisco Giants?
I don't.
In 5 years?
I don't. Because.
And it's because he's not good enough? The personality?
No, it's because who brought him here. Like he's. Like, Posey's directly responsible for him being on the team.
Huh.
That's how
I just never thought about it that way.
Well, that's how I read it. I also think it's hard to assume. I don't know. Unless you're someone that really resonates with, you know, your fan base and, to me, makes an effort to become entrenched in the community, which I have no reason to assume that Devers is going to do. Not that that's a bad thing. It just doesn't seem like it's who he is. I think it's hard for a player that's not homegrown to do that.
I do too.
Like look at any sport. It's all the players that have been traded to a different locale that have become the stars or the faces, the representative for their teams, are, I think, generally out in the community. Like, they make an effort to, like Hunter Pence.
Okay. You know,
like, Hunter Pence was a trade acquisition, but I associate him more with the Giants than I do even the Astros, who I think he played most of his career with. And it's because he made an effort to really connect with the Bay Area. Like, he's from Texas, and you would never know it.
Right.
Because of how much he resonates with this fan base and with this area.
I was the guy that came to mind for me and was Kevin Durant. And so I thought, okay, Kevin Durant played for another team, and then he came to the Warriors. I know how it ended, but I think for the most part, the Bay Area, the Warrior fans embraced Durant. And he wasn't a leader. I think we can all agree with that. But he didn't have to be here. Now, his stature may be a little higher than Devers in terms of their playing ability, but I thought Kevin Durant, for the most part, was appreciated here. I know there was a you know, a smaller contingent that didn't like that he was signing the 1-year deals and his you know, some of his characteristics or whatever. But I thought, for the most part, he was a star. He came to the Bay, played for the Warriors. Everybody really liked him, helped him win, and then he left. Like, I think Devers could basically be that for the Giants over a longer period of time.
Well, then they... But
now, he wasn't the face of the Warriors, but could he have been? Had he stayed here 6 years?
No.
Never?
No chance.
Okay. Well, the Giants don't have a Curry.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But even Durant was... I mean, look, didn't he build, like, a basketball court in Oakland?
He probably did, yeah.
I mean, he donated a lot of money. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know that Durant isn't maybe as well-liked now as he was back then when he was with the Warriors, but he did do a lot in the community here. And he might not get credit for it. But again, like, Devers doesn't strike me as the kind of person that we're going to see parading down Market Street. Like, he's just not. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think there has to be some form of effort. And we're still getting to know him. Maybe right. He does turn into this guy. But right now, he doesn't appear to me to be, Steiny, like the kind of guy that is going to just suddenly become the fan favorite because he's making the effort.
Right. God, he sounds like a few guys that have come through here. You know who else he sounds a little bit like? Little before your time?
Who?
Sounds a little like Latrell Sprewell. Another guy just wanted to play, not really be bothered, talk to the media a little, but only because he had to. He wasn't a jerk to the media, but wasn't his most favorite thing to do. Definitely did not want to be a leader. Absolutely just wanted to come to the gym, play, and go home and not be bothered. But I'm actually more interested in your thought about Posey, that as long as Posey's here, assuming a megastar isn't acquired, that Posey's going to be the face of this franchise for the foreseeable future.
I do.
Huh.
I think it's because he set such a high bar as a player, and so far he's, I think, done a really good job as an executive. Like, in a way, for a player to become more of a face than Buster Posey, they're going to have to accomplish something similar to what he did as a player. And I know, for people that forget, Posey wasn't just a champion. Posey was a most valuable player. Posey is a Hall of Fame baseball player. He might be a first ballot catcher. Like, Buster Posey was a bad dude. And that's just a really high bar for me to clear.
Yeah, I wonder, I think it's going to have a lot to do with how things play out. But I want to talk a little bit more of that, more about that. The Buster Posey factor, and will a Giants player be able to break through and be the face of the franchise or the next star that comes out of San Francisco, or is this all about Buster Posey right now. 888-957-9570. And not that that necessarily is a bad thing. Hey, you know what's coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. The Valkyries take on Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. And you can hear the game right here on 95.7 and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Kevin Dana, Sophia Jones, they're on the call. And you can watch the games on KPIX+. Pregame starts at 6:30. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. And that segment also brought to you by Ceremony Ford.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Giddings in for Guru.
What the hell is this? Pasta. DJ Pasta.
I like it.
Romeo.
Who is it? Coolio?
Lil Romeo?
I like Coolio.
It's Dare by the Gorillaz.
Oh.
Oh. All right.
Let me guess, they spell Gorillaz with a Z on the end. Kids trying to be so cool these days. Use the S.
I actually think they're pretty old. Oh. Well, I'm not going to go there.
Evan Giddings has made a very bold, provocative statement. That's impossible for the Giants to have a face of the franchise as long as Buster Posey's running the show. All right.
He's got to be someone that's better than Buster Posey. Like that. Okay, so I just looked at great players that became executives.
All right. In all sports or just baseball?
All sports.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with a few of them.
I can tell you about all of them.
No, you can't. All right. So there are, in baseball, only a few people that have become executives okay. for the teams that they played for.
Nolan Ryan.
Yes.
Well, right.
Played for like every team, but sure. Texas Rangers.
Okay. Let me hold
on. He also was the an executive for the Houston Astros.
Right.
When they were awful.
But they had a strategy when they were the Lastros.
Yeah, to pluck every single member of the St. Louis Cardinals analytics department.
Nevertheless, it was a plan. It was more than a concept of a plan.
They are the reason that people think tanking works. When really, there's a lot more to it, but that's a deep diver. The only person that I can actually think of, I think the best comparison to this would be John Elway. John Elway became the general manager or president of the Denver Broncos, a team that he helped bring two Super Bowls towards. Was a complete legacy player, played there forever. Until they got Peyton Manning, John Elway was the face of the Broncos. And it's only because Peyton Manning is as good or better of a player than John Elway that he became the face of their franchise. Now, if John Elway hadn't stepped down with the Broncos, he might still be the face of that organization.
What about a guy like Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore?
Newsome was great, a great tight end, a Hall of Fame tight end. You know who got in his first draft as running the Baltimore Ravens? His first draft.
No.
Ray Lewis.
Great pick.
Jonathan Ogden. Two Hall of Famers. So those Hall of Fame players have the ability to become faces of their franchises. But unless you're telling me that Rafi Devers is going to be a Hall of Famer or Bryce Eldridge is going to be a Hall of Famer, I don't see anybody right now that has the ability to usurp Buster Posey for that title.
Who are some of the other names on there, if you don't mind me asking?
Jerry West. But
he got Shaq and Kobe. Okay.
Who else is on that list who is great?
Magic and Bird, right?
Was Jerry West the general manager of?
West coached for a short period of time and knew he couldn't do it, and then he went to the front office. I think Larry Bird. Bird coached for 3 years and then I think was a GM at some point.
George Brett.
But
is
they had
another.
Reggie Miller, who was like a homegrown guy, and I hear what you're saying.
A Hall of Famer. George Brett. Is another one who, and he wasn't, he's been the EVP technically of the Royals for like 25 years. But that's one that, you know, like Salvador Perez is probably the face, but until they were good enough to win a World Series, you probably associate the Royals with just George Brett, like the legacy guy.
All right, here's the way I would look at it. from 10 to 15, 2010 to 2015, who's the face of the Giants?
From 10 to 15?
Yeah.
Posey.
And I would counter that they had a bunch of them. Like, I think when you win that much, just like the Warriors, everybody is a part of it. So when I think of the Giants in their run, I don't necessarily think of Posey. I think of Posey, Lincecum, Bumgarner, Pence, Belt, Crawford, like all Kane. I don't think necessarily of Buster as the face. So what I think would be within the realm of possibility is if Buster Posey's running the Giants and over the next 3 to 5 years, they're very successful. Does it mean winning a World Series? I don't know. Maybe it might, Evan. But I think if this team starts to experience success and eventually wins a World Series, we're going to be saying Devers, Adamas, Chapman, Webb, you know, Duvall. And it'll kind of be the same thing. And I do think under that scenario, Posey fades more into the background.
If they win.
Yeah.
Then you got to win. Like, but you also, I mean, Posey was the constant for all three, though. Like, Crawford was there for two of them. Lincecum was basically done by the third one. I think Kane might have been hurt for one of them. I'm not sure. But my point is, like, the guy who was at the front of all of them was Buster Posey. That's your face. That's the leader. That's the Hall of Famer.
There's something else about Posey's demeanor which will prevent him from being the face of the franchise. You know what I mean? Like, you can... I hear all what you're saying, but he's incredible at deflecting. Like, he won't take credit for anything. And because he's that type of a person, it's more likely or more possible that the players will get more recognition or appreciation because Posey's not going to take it.
No, but I think that's actually why he's so beloved. I think that's why everyone really, really likes
Buster
Posey.
One of the reasons,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, people have different definitions of faces and stuff. But to me, it's who do you most closely associate an organization with? And in fact, like, one of the reasons why I think the Giants were in such a bad place the last few years, really, 5 to 6 years, is because the guy who you most closely associated the Giants with was Farhan Zaidi. Like, that's not a place you want to be.
Does every team... Well, so the Giants right now, you would... In your book, does everybody have a face of a franchise?
Does everyone?
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, like...
Or you could say some teams do, but the face isn't very big or whatever.
Yeah, it's a reflection of the state of your franchise.
Who's the face of the 49ers?
Brock Purdy.
Not Kyle Shanahan?
Nope. Not for me. When I think, like...
See, I think it's Shanahan and Purdy's... Purdy,
like when you say Niners, emerging. When you say Niners, I think Purdy.
When you say Niners, I still think Shanahan.
That's fair.
But it's because, but in 3 years, it'll probably be Purdy. Like, Purdy to me is emerging as that guy.
Possibly.
And it's especially if he continues to have success like he's having. And I don't think he needs to win a Super Bowl. I think it's a little different. I think it's different in football. Like, Jeff Garcia never won a Super Bowl, but he was probably as much of a face of their franchise as...
Yeah, but he never got to one.
No, he didn't. But during that time, 49ers, I can't remember who he played with, but it was either him or Patrick Willis or...
Gore.
Like that. Yeah, Frank Gore.
T.O.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, what we're talking about is Rafael Devers... And, you know, what kind of guy he is and how he's going to fit into this clubhouse. He apparently doesn't want to be a leader. He wants to just play baseball. Can you believe it? And that's the other thing. Just hearing that, it almost sounds negative. Well, he really doesn't want to get involved with anything. He just wants to come to the ballpark and bat four or five times a night and go home. Like, that just doesn't, there's almost a negative connotation that comes with that. And I do kind of think that's unfair. It's not dissimilar from, and let me give you an example. It's not dissimilar from when 212 rolls around and it's time for me to go home because I like to punch the clock. But Willard always wants to make me stay later for whatever reason, maybe to mollify his huge ego. I don't know. But he wants me to stay later, and that's not who I am. It's just not. And that doesn't make me a bad guy because I'm not willing to share the stage with him till 2:26.
And that's, I hate to agree with Steinmetz.
And that's why it'd be hard for me to call you the face of 95.7 the game. Oh, you know what I mean?
No, like, and I'm...
Or the voice. I don't know. Whatever.
No, I'm super duper okay with that. We need a young, vibrant face. Hey.
Now, Steiny. Oh, in his mind, he is. The thing about it, though, and like, okay, but how much does money factor into this, though? Like, if Devers is now your highest paid player, aren't there expectations that come with that?
Well,
or is it just purely baseball?
I think the expectation is this guy is professional. He's responsible. I don't care if he's not out in the community, but, you know, he's got to show up to photo day. And, you know, so these guys usually are contractually obligated to two or three appearances over the course of a year. He's got to do those. You know, he's got to get to the ballpark on time. But that's all he's got to do. That's all he's got to do for me and Ray.
Just punch the clock. That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean, if again, like, how about this? I don't know. I just learned more about Devers in the last week about his personality than in 8 years. And I'm telling you right now, if he has, and what's he, seven? He's been in the league 7 or 8 years, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm telling you right now, if Devers puts up the exact same numbers the next 8 years as he did the first 8 years, then yes, that's all he needs to do. And I think people would be ecstatic, even if he were Steve Carlton, who didn't talk to the media at all. I still think Devers would be hugely elevated and Giants fans would love him.
Oh, I think so. If you're telling me he's going to hit 280 with 30 home runs a year, 30 doubles, and a 900 OPS for the next 8 years,
yeah,
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But there's more pressure to do that now than when there was in Boston. He's the guy. Did you see the game last night?
Do you know the two cities, though, and how they feel about sports?
Did you see who was hitting around Rafi Devers yesterday?
Well, I can only assume, like, his job, he's got as much protection
is
as
so
Crow
much harder
Armstrong
now.
In Chicago.
Okay, you got to get off PCA. I need you to understand one thing. When you hit fourth in a lineup, you're the protection. You're not protected. Okay, there's one thing. Secondly, dude, Devers' job is so much harder in the middle of the Giants order right now. I mean, Posey might go get a bat. Eldridge might come up. Might be a great hitter, all the rest. His job is so hard right now. Like, if he pops out on the first pitch like he did in the third at-bat of the sixth inning yesterday, like that inning is not going to bear fruit. You know what I mean? Like, Devers in Boston could afford to have a few bad games. If he has a bad game here, they might not win.
I was looking at it more as pressure from a fan base that's more demanding than the Giants, mostly.
Well, out here, they're just going to forget about you if you don't play well, which might be more disrespectful than yelling at you.
That's true. Let's go to Pete. Pete's in San Ramon. Hey, Pete, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Evan, I got to take issue with you.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm really curious if you can find any audio clip between 2010 and 2015 where any player, coach, beat writer, anybody refers to Buster as face of the franchise. I think you're looking back 10 years later and saying why you say what you're saying. But I don't think I don't have any recollection of anything like that from 10 years ago.
That's fair, Pete. Would you give me by 2012, like after his third year in the league?
No. No. I mean, like Steiny listed all those players, Mad Bum, Lincecum, plenty of other guys contributed as much. I'll leave it at that, as much.
Okay.
That's fair.
Hey, Buster. Pete,
that's fair.
I like Buster, too. Don't take me wrong there. I'm fine with Buster.
I
love the trade.
I got you. Thanks, Pete.
I'd be interested to hear what other Giants fans think of that.
All right, Steiny.
You know, I mean, face of a franchise can be defined how anybody wants to define it. So
that's true.
There's no wrong answer here.
Maybe he's not in that for Pete, but a player that in their first three seasons wins Rookie of the Year, a World Series, their first season, first full season, gets injured their second season, so doesn't even really get to play. And so in their second full year, in two full years, is Rookie of the Year, Most Valuable Player, and is a two-time World Series champion. I don't really know what else you got to do. Like, that's a hell of a resume right there.
If you want to really get into this, I think it could be a pretty fun conversation. Because to me, part of being a face of a franchise is you have to want to be the face of a franchise. And I don't think Posey ever wanted to be the face of a franchise. And we can talk about his leadership, you know, leading by example. Yes, absolutely. But the other thing that happened during those Giants championship years, for whatever reason, and maybe part of it was because maybe Posey left the Posey. Let's give Posey was their superstar. Well, he left a void as a superstar in terms of the media and charisma and being totally accessible and being a great quote and all those things. In the meantime, the Giants organization, they start promoting the hell out of stuff like Brandon Belt and the Giraffe and Pablo Sandoval, the Panda, and they build up Bumgarner's image as a cowboy and Tim Lincecum. Everybody loved his free spirit. And that's why I would tend to agree with Pete about, I didn't really think of Posey as the face of the franchise as much as, yeah, he was the mainstay there and probably their best player during that time. But again, it's a gray area.
No, again, and maybe it's just my definition of it. Like, being the face of a franchise isn't just about someone saying that you are or you calling attention to yourself. It's about association with your team, in my opinion. Still to this day, I see 28s walking all around 3rd and King. I see number 28s out on the street. The most jerseys sold of that group were of Buster Posey. It's because he was their leader, whether he wanted to be or not. It's because I associate that era of Giants baseball with him most closely, whether he wanted the attention or not. And he was the best player on three World Series teams. Like, again, he's one of the greatest catchers of all time. And that's why I think now with what he's become as an executive, and he's still got a long ways to go, that's just a really high bar for me to ask someone to step into and clear. Like, and it's not, I'm sure he didn't care.
Well,
like, he'll bring in somebody tomorrow that's better than him if he could. But that's kind of a part of his greatness, is that he also didn't want the limelight. Like, he's not pimping home runs. He takes Aaron Harang deep, first home run of his career, puts his head down, runs to first base. Like, but that's who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got you. I just feel like, and I also think there might be something to, okay, the Giants had never won it. Posey's the best player on a team that wins it for the first time. So there's just something about that that's going to elevate him in a natural way. Now this team hasn't had success, let's just say for 10 years, Posey comes back and starts reassembling a team. It starts to ascend, and he makes an acquisition of Rafael Devers. And again, this is an assumption. If the Giants are better and they go on a deep run and they happen to win a title this year, I think Devers, regardless of whether he's a big personality or not, he becomes, like, maybe not the face of the franchise, but he's going to be revered around here. Like,
oh, yeah,
revered,
of course.
But he'll never be the face because of a variety of reasons. And one is he came here halfway through his career. Two is he doesn't really want to be it. And three, he's probably not a great one at it if he wanted to be. So, but in terms of being remembered, all these guys are going to get remembered if they win a title, just like all the, I mean, like, that's the thing about when you win it. I mean, we still talk about Marco Scudero and Michael Morse, and who's the average guy who got the hit off the Phillies guy, Cody Ross. You know what I mean? Like, all those guys get to go down in Giants lore because they won it all, and there's enough credit to go around. And Devers will get the bulk of it if they win because he's their best player.
Not if he swings like A-Rod in the postseason.
Hey.
Not if he swings like Judge in October. But that's just how it goes. Like,
it's baseball, Aaron. Why did I call you Aaron?
Oh, my God. That's probably the most disrespectful thing you've said to me today. What?
You know what? Are you like Shaq with names? You ever see that Shaq and
Shaq's
Barkley one?
Awful with names.
No, Shaq hates to be called by the wrong name because Barkley called him Shrek once, and he went nuts.
Well, that's just an insult.
No,
that's,
but if you say, if you go up to Shaq and go, "Hey, Billy, hey," he'll punch you. And if somebody comes up to me and they've done it a million times, "Hey, Mark," that's Matt.
I'm just I'm a little. No, I'm just, that's honestly what my English teacher called me all of freshman year, called me Aaron. And then my English teacher sophomore year called me Ethan for the whole year, because there's two of each in both class. Evan's not that hard of a name, Steiny.
Hey, are you traveling in 2025? Start your journey right at San Francisco International Airport with the most nonstop flights from the Bay Area, easy parking, live performances, and tasty food. Why settle for less? Fly from SFO, where your best journeys begin. Visit flysfo.com. And that segment also brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.